Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison, and you are once again listening to STEM Spots. With me in the studio today is Dr. Mike Reed. He's an astronomer at Missouri State University and is nursing a cold like many of us. Thanks for stopping by, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
So, Mike, of course, astronomy is something that a lot of people in the Ozarks are interested in. People look up at the stars all the time. And I wanted to discuss a couple of things that have been going on recently and, of course, some of our own efforts. So if you could first walk us through the recent blood moon that just occurred. Talk about why these happen, what people get wrong about them, what they get right about them.
Certainly. It was a beautiful event. We had nice clear skies here in the Ozarks. And a blood moon is really just a lunar eclipse. So that's when the moon passes through the Earth's shadow. And it tends to look a little coppery and perhaps red. And that's because even though it's in the Earth's shadow, the Earth's atmosphere bends the sun's light. And so it's not completely out of the sunlight. It's just the bending of the red light. And that red light bends less than the blue light. That's why our sky is blue. So the blue light's scattered completely out of the way. And sort of what's left to focus on the moon then is the red light. And this one was a blood wolf moon because the wolf moon is the first full moon of the year. And because the moon's orbit is tilted a little bit from our orbit around the sun, we don't get a lunar eclipse every month. We just get them when the full moon occurs at a specific place of the moon's orbit where it crosses the plane.
That means, of course, that astronomers or somebody else could predict accurately when these things are going to occur.
That's correct. And the next one doesn't occur until 2021, I think. So we've got a little while to wait now.
Okay. So, yes, of course, I was out looking at it, as I'm sure many people in the neighborhood were. And the telescope views are the best, but even from the naked eye, it was quite impressive. So there's also been something that's been in the news recently about some radio signals coming that appear to be from outside our own galaxy that are a little bit odd. Talk about those.
Yeah, these were found initially in 2007, but it hasn't been until recently that they've really sort of started to detect them with some regularity. Only a couple of dozen of these are known, and what they are highly energetic bursts of radio energy, and they last only a few milliseconds. And so they're extremely energetic and extremely short-lived, and this points to two things. It points to a requirement of a very large energy source, and usually that means something like a black hole or a neutron star or an exploding massive star supernova. And because of the short duration, it also points to something very compact. So in this case, they think these are very young magnetars, which are highly magnetized neutron stars within 100 years of the supernova explosion that created them. And what happens is these very extreme magnetic fields are then sort of intertwined with the explosion material that's still expanding out into space.
Well, that's a pretty bizarre turn of events. I mean, a lot of the things we see, we get lucky to see those. I mean, so let's talk a little bit about our own efforts, because astronomers have to point their telescopes, obviously, to see things, whether it's radio or whether it's optical or whether it's infrared. And you've got efforts, I know, that go on at other telescopes and maybe through observations from launched missions. But what about things that we're doing out at Baker Observatory? What's going on out there right now?
Well, at Baker Observatory, as you're well aware, we recently updated our telescope to a 20-inch telescope, and that improvement has allowed us to do a little bit more science. We can look at brighter things faster or fainter things with the extra size of the telescope. And right now we've been looking at a bunch of exoplanet transits trying to determine the other planets around. We will have a couple of open house events for the public as well coming up on March 1st. April 5th and May 10th. And if the weather's good, we will have the telescope set up so that people can have a look through them and see other interesting things up in the sky.
Yeah, I know that we've had, when I was out there at one recently, there were maybe 400 people. We usually have enough telescopes set up that people can go from one to the other and they look at different objects. Is that right?
Yes, we'll not only have our 20-inch telescope running, but we should also have our 14-inch telescope running and several 8-inch telescopes so that there'll be a variety of objects that can be seen.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for stopping by. I appreciate you talking to us.
You're very welcome.
So once again, this is Dave Cornelison. If you need further information on Baker, please look it up on a physics website on Missouri State University. This is Dave Cornelison for STEM Spots signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.